Well, our reading this morning was from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we read about the Church of Philadelphia. The book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. John was a prisoner there. And it was around about 96 AD when he wrote down this letter. He was instructed by the Lord Jesus to write the letter. And that letter was to go to seven churches in Asia Minor. And each of those seven churches received the whole book of Revelation. Within the whole book of Revelation, there was seven distinct messages for those seven distinct churches in Asia Minor. And as you view those messages, you see what Jesus commends about the churches and what Jesus recommends that they change. Jesus sees those churches. It's like he gives an X-ray vision of those seven churches in Asia Minor in John's day, and he points out the bad things in the churches and he points out the good things. And it's interesting, when you come to the church of Smyrna, there's nothing that the Lord Jesus points out to them that is bad. And the same with the church of Philadelphia. The Smyrnan church and the Philadelphian church were faithful churches. And as we think about our church anniversary, it's great to look at the Church of Philadelphia, because the Lord gave the Church of Philadelphia an open door. And as we think about the history of this church, how God has given it open doors, God still gives the church open doors today. And if you're a part of this church, God has given you an open door. Each of us have a sphere of ministry. Each one of us are born into different family circumstances. We might be different in different work circumstances, but all of us have an open door to reach out for Jesus. And so that's what we're going to look at as we come to this church, what Jesus said to this church in particular. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the Philadelphian church. The Philadelphian church was in an important city in Asia Minor. It was in a major postal route from Rome to the east, and the city was known as the Gateway to the East. It was also known as the Little Athens, because of the many temples in that city. Because of its location and the many travellers that would come through this city, the people there, the Christians there, had tremendous opportunity to reach out for the Lord Jesus. There was a major problem with the church, actually with the city. And the major problem that the city had was that it was built on a major geological fault. And so the city was prone to earthquakes. And in 17 BC, the city had been destroyed by a severe earthquake. And that created an uncertainty within the city residents. And so this was the type of ministry, or this is a type of city that the Philadelphian Christians were involved in. It was a city on shaky ground, and yet they were there to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And if you look at the Church of Philadelphia, it's a church blessed by Jesus, and it's a church commended by Jesus. And as a pastor, I want a church that is blessed by Jesus, and I also want a church that is commended by the Lord Jesus. Now, there are four things that I want you to remember about the Philadelphian church. And as we minister together, there are four important things for us to remember. So if you've got a pen, you might like to write these down. If you've got no pen, you might like to pick up your lipstick. If you're a lady, and you can write that down. If you've got nothing to write it down on, choose the person next to you and write on their forehead these points. And then you'll be able to see in morning tea, yes, that's what the sermon was about. Some of us, we've got a great area to write points of sermons on up the top there. Well, here's four things I want you to know about the Philadelphian church. The Philadelphian church had openness. The Philadelphian church had openness. Secondly, the Philadelphian church had opportunities. Thirdly, the Philadelphian church had oppositions. And fourthly, the Philadelphian church had optimism. So those four things I want us to think about this morning. The Philadelphian church, first of all, had openness. The Church of Philadelphia was known as the Church of the Open Door. And the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And Philadelphia was the church of brotherly love. They had an open heart to each other, and this church had an open heart to their community. They had a great testimony of brotherly love. And, we need to have that testimony. We need to make sure that we have a testimony of loving brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. It's so important that the church shows love to each one here and also to those outside. John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." One of the greatest testimonies that we can have as a church is that we have love for one another. Very, very important. Great churches have great love for Jesus, and great churches have great love for one another, and great churches have great love for the lost. You know, you can be in a church that has its doctrine right, and yet it might be a church that does not have love. A church can have its doctrine right and not have love for Jesus. A church can have its doctrine right and yet be neglecting the love for one another. A church can have its doctrine right, they can wear what they think is right, and yet they might lack a love for people outside the church. I wonder what would be the report card of our church. As I mentioned, Jesus had John pen this letter to seven churches, and not all the report cards were good. There was one church that lacked love, and that was the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2 verse 3. "And you have persevered and have patience and have laboured for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." The church at Ephesus had a good testimony in many areas. They were a patient church. They were a church that had right doctrine, and yet they lost their first love. You go to some churches and the people are so cold to each other and they're so cold to the people outside that you need ice skates to go down the aisle. They're so cold. Now, some churches have Jack Frost as the pastor, a cold pastor, not warm to other people. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples," as I said that before, "if ye have love one to another." Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church was a very gifted church. The Apostle Paul did commend the Corinthian church, but the Corinthian church were warned by the Apostle Paul. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." In verse 8, he says, "Love never fails." In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he says, "Pursue love." He wants them to pursue love. And when you think about pursuing something, you take a lot of energy to actually pursue something. He wants them to pursue love, because love never fails. Well, the church at Philadelphia was the church of brotherly love. And again, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says this, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love the lost outside the Lord Jesus? Do you love your enemies? We all should do those things. Well, the church at Philadelphia had an openness, and their openness to others was reflected in their love within the church and also with those outside the church. Secondly, the Philadelphian church had opportunities. Look at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens." This is the Lord Jesus speaking. The one who is holy, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David is the risen Lord Jesus. And it's the Lord Jesus that opens and shuts the doors of ministry. And Jesus knew their works, and Jesus knew their weakness, and Jesus knew their witness, and it was the Lord Jesus that gave them tremendous opportunities in the city of Philadelphia. And what tremendous opportunities you and I have today. Opportunities to present the gospel in this shaky world. Remember, they lived in a shaky place, a shaky city. People were so uncertain what was going to happen in their city because of the earthquakes, and because the city had once been wiped out totally, that they could be a sure foundation in a shaky world. And you and I can be a sure foundation in a shaky world as well. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I want you to know that this was a church that when people looked at it, it appeared that these believers had little strength, but they had great strength if they had trusted the Lord Jesus and if they allowed his power to work in their lives. You have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. You know, many modern churches today are not keeping God's word. Many modern churches today are denying the name of the Lord Jesus. Many churches today are denying the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. I've been to churches where they've blacked out the walls and they've blacked out the lights and they've installed strobe lights to make them look like nightclubs. The church is not a nightclub. The church is a light club. We are to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus. We are to be shining lights in a dark world. Judy and I, a couple of years ago, went to a Baptist conference in Sydney, and they blacked out the place. They had, I can remember, I think it was singing the choruses. I could hardly sing the choruses because of the strobe light that was constantly flashing. We don't need the world's ways. We need God's ways. It's God's word that's going to build the church and not strobe lights. He wants his people to be lights in the world, keeping to God's word. Modern churches try to work out ways to grow the church. There's church growth manuals, there is church growth books, there's church growth conferences. Paul can tell us how to grow a church. Two simple things. We need to preach and we need to pray. Paul said, preach the word to Timothy. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Paul talked about prayer in Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There's the church growth manual. We are to preach and we are to pray. We are to trust the Lord and the Lord will give us growth. Think about it here, as I've mentioned before. Our church here was planted in the 1860s and God has still kept the doors open for ministry. And we still have an open door for ministry today in 2022. How did it begin? Well, five men got together and began to pray. I guess those five men would never have dreamed that the church would still be active 162 years later. Those men would never have dreamed that 30 years after their first prayer meeting that this beautiful tabernacle would be raised to God's glory. so that men and women and boys and girls can come and hear God's word. All began with a prayer meeting at the Glebe here in Newcastle. Well, we've had tremendous open doors, and we've got tremendous opening doors today, and we need to just take them. But we're living in a closing world, and I'm going to get to that. But we've got open doors in a closing world. Well, what's some of our current ministries? Well, there are ladies' ministries that run in this church. There's a men's ministry. We have a men's breakfast. We run Bible studies from this church. There's a travel ministry that runs from the church, Tab Tours. We have those involved here in creation ministries from this church. We have a choir ministry that runs from the church. We have a music ministry here each week for us that runs from here. We have a prayer ministry. There are a number of prayer meetings. You can come to a Bible study and a prayer meeting throughout the week, or just out on my left there before the church at about 10 past 10, people meet to pray for the church service. Only a few people. It'd be great to have more people go out there at 10 past 10 and pray for the ministry of the church. We have deacons that minister in this church. We have those that are involved in the management of SRE. We have a preaching ministry from this church. We have a preaching ministry that goes to other churches. Ron preaches at other churches. I preach at other churches from time to time. We have a catering ministry that operates, a ministry of the interior, a great ministry that often happens with our church dinners that we have. We've got a radio and internet ministry. We've got witnessing ministries out on the streets. We have a gospel tract ministry. People deliver gospel tracts. We've heard of the effectiveness of what a gospel tract can do. It's just wonderful. We've got so many doors for an open ministry, open doors for ministry. We need to be looking constantly at the fields. Jesus said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know, one day God is going to shut the ministry door of this church, and he's going to shut the ministry door worldwide of the church. And that is going to happen at the rapture. One day the doors of the church, and I mean the Bible-believing church, I mean the bride of Christ, the doors of witness one day will be closed. And that will happen at the rapture of the church. No longer will the church be a witness on this earth. God is going to pick up and use the Jewish nation in the tribulation period. But now is the time where we have open doors for ministry. You know, Jesus said this, "But as the days of Noah were," talking about Noah, "so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." God gave Noah a marvellous opportunity to witness to the unsaved in his day. The Bible describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness, and you see that in 2 Peter 2 verse 5. And we know what Noah did. He built an enormous ark in his day, and that ark, I believe, was built as a rescue ship. But one day, God closed the door of opportunity for anyone to get on that ark. One day, God closed the door and judgment fell. And I believe every sound of the hammer was a witness to the people that God was going to judge. God was going to bring judgment upon the earth. And for all that time that Noah built the ark, he was a witness. He was a preacher of righteousness until the door of the ark was closed. Noah took the opportunities that he had. And I believe that we need to take the opportunities before judgment falls upon this earth, the doors of opportunities before God closes the door of the witness of the church when the tribulation happens just after the rapture. Genesis 7 verse 16 says, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." The Lord closed the door, that great rescue ship. Only a few souls were saved on that great rescue ship because there was a time that God closed the door of witness in Noah's day. And Noah and his family were saved, but the rest were lost. It's going to be, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This church in Philadelphia was in a strategic location. People would pass through that town. And I believe that this church is in a strategic location. But people back in the 1860s saw an open door and they went for it. And they ended up building this wonderful church. We need to think that we're actually in a strategic location. People come from all over the world to Newcastle. People pass through. There are cruise ships that pull up in the river there. And people get out and they walk around and they see these beautiful buildings. We've got an open door. I want to ask you, what's your open door? What open door has God given you for ministry? I want to ask you, are you working hard at it? You might say, oh, I've got this ministry that God has given me. But I want to ask you, if God's given you a ministry, are you working hard for it? I hope you are. The time is short. The door could be closed any moment with the rapture of the church. The Philadelphians lived in a shaky city, and the many gods of the day were powerless against the natural forces of the earth. But the gospel preached brought a security that only Jesus Christ could offer. We live in a shaky world. We've got a gospel that can bring security. We've got a gospel that can bring sanctification. We've got a gospel that can bring salvation. We've got a gospel that can change lives. We need to take the open door for that. Well, the Philadelphian church had opportunities. Thirdly, the Philadelphian church had oppositions. Look at verse 9 there. The Christians in the city had opportunities, but they had opposition, and the enemies were described as those from the synagogue of Satan. Verse 9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Where there's opportunities, there's always opposition. Where there's an open door, there'll always be those that oppose the door that's open. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can guarantee that you're going to have opposition. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The enemies here are described as the synagogue of Satan. It reminds us that we are in a spiritual warfare against the devil, against Satan's forces. And Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The church of the open door had opposition. And if you fly the flag for Jesus, you're going to have opposition. It might be in your family. It might be in your workplace. It might be in a club that you're in. You might be in a tennis club or some sort of sporting club. And you show that you're a Christian. And you'll find out that soon you have opposition. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's some of you here and we have no idea what persecution you've suffered because you're a Christian. There are some here that have never talked about the trials that they've had because they've stood for Jesus. There are some here that have very sad stories. I've met people that have very sad stories because they've become a Christian and their family has turned against them. There are others that have become Christians and they've had a good group of friends and suddenly when they become a Christian and they're born again, they lose all their friends. There are some that have become Christians and they're shown the door by the boss because they stand by their convictions. And because they stand for the Lord Jesus, The boss says, you're unemployable to me. That's happened to Christians all around the world in recent times. Well, let me get on to the next point. Last point here is the church at Philadelphia had optimism. Verse 9 again, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Though the Philadelphian church had enemies on earth, they would ultimately have victory with Jesus. They would ultimately have victory with Jesus. One day, every enemy is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2 verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They had cause for optimism because they are on the winning side. And though they might be rejected by the people at Philadelphia, the non-believers, though they might be attacked by those that are named as the synagogue of Satan, they are on the victory side. And one day you and I, we're going to stand on the victory side with the Lord Jesus. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when they do that and they bow before the Lord Jesus, we're going to be standing there as victors with the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful news? Wonderful news. We've got a great optimism in the church today because we are on the winning side. Jesus promised the Philadelphian church that he would keep them from the coming tribulation. Look at verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, in the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. The church at Philadelphia had optimism. Their enemies would be defeated. They would be kept from the tribulation period. I believe with my whole heart that the church will be kept from the tribulation period, that the world, the ungodly world, is going to be punished in the tribulation period, but not the bride, because the bride will be taken home. They needed to have great optimism also, because they were going to have God's rewards. Jesus also would come again. The church had openness. Philadelphia, brotherly love. A church of brotherly love, a church that loved each other in their church community. The Philadelphian church had opportunities. Opportunities abounded for them, and opportunities abound for us today. As the sign says there, an open door in a closing world. We have an open door in a closing world today. The Philadelphian church had oppositions. They had oppositions. But they could have optimism because Jesus was coming again. Jesus was going to have the victory. Jesus was going to reward them. As a church, I want a church that is both blessed by Jesus and a church that is commended by Jesus. Look at verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wonderful sample of the Church of Philadelphia, a church that had great openness, opportunities, great oppositions, but great optimism. And Lord, we can't help but think that you have blessed this church with an open door for over 100 years and that you're going to continue to bless it. Lord, use each of us with the open doors that we have for ministry to reach others in this final hour. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.